Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We are today in lesson 405. And last time we were discussing a law that has to do with the dress code, what man can wear, what woman can wear, and how God feels about it. And in regard to that, we're quoting some of the scriptures in terms of understanding the nature of the law of God and how we ought to walk in it. And that's the only way we're going to know everything in life that we do. As Paul would say, you know, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. You see, whatever you do in deed or in word, in action, in behavior, whatever it may be, and how would you know it, whether you do it unto the Lord or not, unless you know His law, the law of the Lord, the doctrine of Christ, the law of Moses, and they're all the same. You see? And so, we were going, the last statements we were making were from David in the Psalms in chapter 19, when he's discussing the nature of the Torah of God, of the mind of Christ, of the mind of the God of Israel, the same God. And he's saying again, let's read it from verse 7, the Torah of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and he's speaking about the same Lord that came later on in the flesh, that became his son, who was his Lord also. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, the statutes of the Lord are right, and therefore they rejoice the heart. When you do things which are not right, obviously you are not happy. You don't make other people happy. And so only the statutes of God will tell you what is right and what is not. And when you do it, even though temporarily you might have grief, you see, because not because you did it, but because others don't like it and they give you a hard time. You see, but you yourself, knowing that you have done right, just like Jesus Christ, he knew that it was right for him to do everything that God commanded him to do, even go all the way to the cross. And so it said about him, for the joy that was ahead of him, he endured the suffering and the shame of the cross. Why? Because he knew that it was right what he was doing, and he knew the end result of it. So even though in doing so you're going to have pain and affliction and persecution, knowing that you are doing right, you will rejoice. You see? And when people do not do it from their whole being and heart, you see, then it becomes a burden. They wish they didn't have to do it, and then they get angry at God and so forth and themselves. But when you do it right, it rejoices your heart. And that's what he's saying here. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You see, in the commandment, he's using many terminologies here, or many terms that basically describe the Torah of God, you know, be it commandment, testimony, statute, judgment, precept, you know, as you go to Psalm 119, or in 19 here, but when you go to Psalm 119, he describes the entirety of the nature of the law of God in so many ways, and unless you study it, you don't know what he's talking about. And so, this is what he says here, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's not unclean. The fear of man is unclean. The fear of the devil is unclean. The fear of your boss, or the fear of getting caught is unclean. The fear of the police, or the guy behind you, you know, with a siren, and so forth, all that is unclean. But when you fear God, that is when you reverence God, when you don't play games with Him and His law and His path and His ways, when you're walking before Him naked, so to speak, you're not hiding anything under your cloth, you see, or whatever you're wearing, everything is clean, pure, just like a little child. You see, they're clean. Look at their eyes. Total innocence, cleanness, purity there. And so when we fear God, that fear is clean. Because we know everything that He does is right and good and it's for us. And when we walk in it, our fear of Him is not the fear that the pagans had of their gods. They were so scared and afraid of them, you know, they tried to pacify them. That's not our God. He doesn't inject into us, you know, that kind of spirit. You see? That's what He's saying here. The fear of fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. You see? It's not something that you're going to have only a temporary basis until, you know, the boss, let's say, you know, goes by and then you go and do your own thing, or the policeman goes by and you do your own thing. No, when you fear God, you fear Him forever, and it's always there and it's clean. It's not on again, off again. That's a genuine relationship. You always fear Him, you always reverence Him, and that's exactly, actually, one of His names. For example, when Jacob was fleeing from Laban, and after that they made a peace covenant, an agreement between them, and Laban swore by his God, and it says that Jacob swore by the fear of Isaac. What does it mean, the fear of Isaac? You see, God is the fear of Isaac, the one that God, that Isaac feared, and reverenced, and obeyed. You see, that fear was clean. That's what he swore by. Not the terror, you see. You don't want to know the terror of God. You want to know his fear. And when you obey him, you know his fear. When you disobey him, you know his terror. You don't want that. And that's a fearful thing. That's what Paul said, to fall into the hand of the eternal. Because our God is a consuming fire. Now, who's going to be afraid? The people that obey him? No. The people that disobey him. And so that's basically what you see there. And that's what he's talking about here. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Why? You see? Because, as I said, I'm the truth. There's no lie in him. The prince of this world comes, he says, and he has nothing in me, because he is a source of truth and error. That's the way he deceives people. He doesn't give them only lies. He's the father of lies, but he doesn't tell you only lies. See, liars do not tell you always lie. You know, they mix up truth and error. They twist the truth. They bend it. That's what commercials are all about. That's what elections are all about. You see, that's what politicians and lawyers are all about, generally speaking. You know, there are very few pure, precious, honest people among them. But even then, the heart is deceitful above all things. That's the nature of our heart, as here in Jeremiah. You know, and speaking about our mind. You know, we always like to color the truth and embellish it and twist it and to fit our own thinking. And we do it by nature because we've been taught to do it from a very young age. But the judgments of the Lord are true, period. You see, and when you follow them, not to follow the teachings of men and what man says or the Bible says, then you are in the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, not the mixture of truth and error. A lot of people are in slavery and they don't even know it, because they follow lies, they believe lies, they practice lies, and they don't even know it, and they think that they are good people. But the command, but you know, the judgments of the Lord are true, and how would you know that unless you study them and walk in them and abide in them? You see, they are true and righteous altogether, from A to Z. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And David was a very rich man too, and he knew the difference between the corruptible things and the enduring things, and therefore he understood the real value of the Word of God, of the judgment of God, of the statutes of God, of the Torah of God, of the law of Christ, of the nature of Christ, of the law of Moses, you see. It's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. People don't look on the law of God in that manner. There is a custom in the Jewish community, you know, they take little children and they have to do it different ways. Either they put, you know, the little kid, you know, on their lap, and they make, you know, they have a little cup of honey in front of them, a little dish there, and then they dip, you know, the finger of the kid in the honey, and then they say, stick it in your mouth, and he does, and they say, you see, that's how the Word of God is, the Torah is, the law of God is, and how the custom is, you know, they teach them the alphabet by taking in all those letters, they make those letters, and they dip them in honey, and, you know, they take that one and suck it, you know, all kind of things like that. In other words, to teach them that the Torah of God is not a so-called Christianity, supposedly the religion of Jesus Christ, has taught that the Torah is a contemptible thing, it's a hard thing, it's an old stuff done away with. That's not what Christ said is, you see. His Torah, as he describes it here through David, is sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. No matter how sweet it is, the honey, this one is even sweeter. You see? And people have not been taught to regard the Torah of God in that manner, the law of Moses in that manner. And that's why God says, unless you return to that, you see, unless you become sweet again, because now you are not sweet, you're bitter. and I'm going to spew out of your my mouth if you continue to behave like that. He told his own people that, as you read it in his discourse to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Why? Because you're not sweet. You see, when you're not sweet, when you talk about a person who is a sweet person, what do you talk about? Somebody that does horrible things? No. That's what he's talking about. That when you walk in the Torah of God, in the judgments and statutes and precepts and testimonies of God that teach you what really is sweet, then you become sweet. You see, people say, sweetly Lord Jesus, or sweet Lord Jesus. What do they mean by that? What is it that makes him sweet? The law, his nature, his character, you see, his personality, and all this have been revealed in words. You see? And obviously, you cannot reveal the epitome of what God is in words, but since we're human beings, God communicates with us in words. He revealed it through what is called the Torah. Or the teachings, or the instructions, or the judgments, or statutes, and precepts, and all that. And people don't like that. They don't like this terminology, you see. And so you don't see it, generally speaking, you know, in the Jewish community, even though they give lip service to the Torah. You generally see halakha, rabbinic code, rabbinic law, what this rabbi said, what that rabbi said, the Talmud, the Mishnah, this and that and the other thing. And in the community of the Israelites, who became all basically mostly Christians, they call it Christianity, you don't see this terminology either. Those people who even call themselves people of God, they have the Holy Spirit, they don't like to use this terminology. That's old stuff. They're so poisoned, so polluted, so defiled, so bitter in many ways in the sight of God, they don't even get it. And so they despise this terminology. And they'd rather use Christian ethics, Christian doctrines, Christian this and Christian that. Where did they get that from? Christ didn't come to teach all these kind of things. He always referred to the Torah, to the prophets, you see, to the writings. And all the words of the apostles, you know, all the disciples that wrote, they were not coming to preach Christian doctrine or teachings or things like that. Unless you understand that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, from Genesis through Sinai, then when you call it Christian, then it becomes something altogether different. Now you are right. But not when you say, well, Christian, that means that it's not Moses. It's not Old Testament. It's not Jewish. When you say that, you see, you're ignorant. You're confused. You're blind. You're bitter as far as God is concerned. You're not sweet. You're full of vomit. You see, that's the way God regards it. So understand the purity of it. Because remember, the law of God is perfect. And it's pure. And not the confusion that man came up with. That's what God says. In vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, and then do it to this very day. And those hypocrites, I'd like to quote it in terms of speaking against the Jews, and they've been doing it all along, far worse. No Jew ever say, a religious Jew especially, the law is done away with, the Torah is done away with. You see? But the hypocrites that call themselves followers of Christ, the God who came down on Mount Sinai and gave them the law, they are the ones that say it. They have the audacity not to accuse their cousins of the people of Judah. That shows you how insane people are and why the devil has deceived the whole world and why it's recorded there. And they don't even know it. And one of these days, God is going to bring all to judgment before him and remove all that filth and stench and pollution from all of his people, be it Judah or Israel, or the rest of the children of Abraham who are into Islam or other religions, and the rest of mankind. And he's going to make them sweet, like little children, precious, no lies, no deceptions, total innocence, purity, by feeding them his law. That's why he says when he comes, the Torah shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem, and the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of the law. You see? And it is through that that is going to make a new marriage covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not with the whore, not with the harlots, and not with the vomit of Judaism. All of them are going to be cleansed and purged and purified from all this filthiness, confusion of truth and error. And he's going to make a pure covenant with them. And that's what David is talking about here. You see? So all of us are guilty. regardless of whatever religion we are. Even those who call themselves the people of God, a lot of them are full of vomit and hatred and contempt against the law of God. Even those who have the Holy Spirit have this attitude because they brought it out of their own former mothers, you see, be it the whore or the harlots. And they don't realize that. And even in the Messianic movement, where Jews are, a lot of Jews are there, they too have been taught by those false prophets that give them a mixture of truth and error from so-called Christianity, Protestantism, generally speaking, that, you know, well, the law is dead and away with, it's not for us, it's old stuff, you know. We live, we live by the law of Christ. They don't know what it means. You know, they just have a measure of knowledge and understanding there. And Christ did it for us. We don't need to keep the Sabbath. Imagine that, Jews. That's how confused the whole world is. God is not a respecter of anyone. And neither should we. And so David says, all these things are more desire to, the commandment of the Lord is pure. You see, it's enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. We read that earlier. The judgment of the Lord are true. The judgments, that is, and righteous altogether. More to be desired are there than gold. You have this attitude. If you don't, you are not of God. It's as simple as that. You're of another spirit. There are more to be desired than gold. You don't look for positions. You don't look for high and lofty things. You don't look for status and fame. You don't look for power or control over people. You see? This is what you look for. As David said, things that are far greater than that. And those people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the Torah of Moses, for the Torah of Jesus Christ, for the teachings that he gave them from beginning until the end and came to magnify them, they are the ones who are going to be in the kingdom. And all the rest are thrown out. And you can kid yourself all you want, sitting on your rocking chair, you know, I've been saved long time ago, I gave my heart to the Lord. I don't even know what you're talking about, being blind and ignorant and naked and poor and miserable and wretched, as God calls this kind of people. And you think, well, I just live by grace, I live by love, you know, I'm a kind person, that's all I need. I don't know, I don't want that harsh law, that old law, you see. You're wallowing in the mire like a sow, like a pig. You're a dog that went back to your own vomit. You see, and yet you think, oh, sweet little Lord Jesus, he died for me and his blood purchased my heart, and they sing all those sweet, nice songs, and they're full of vomit, all those songs, because they don't mean what they say. They don't know what they're talking about, what they're singing about when they sing those kind of things. Because they've been taught vomit and not truth, not purity. You see, that's why I say it's not a real religion to them. And it's this kind of people, and you can put your name there if that's the kind of a person you are, who are going to come before Christ and say, hey, Lord, Lord, open the door for us too. Why? Because the door was shut before them, and they wonder, yeah, what's happening here? Where are your people too? Open the door, and so they bang on the door. Of course, it's a parable that he gives, basically to show what's going to happen in the future, when people have been living their life, you know, based on lies and deception and the vomit that they got from their own preachers. They'll come before him, and they've done a lot of good works. He does not deny that. But his verdict of that, when they say, Lord, Lord, open the door, you know, we've done all these wonderful works in your name. We believed in your name, sweetly Lord Jesus, you know, we preach your name, all kind of things like that. We cast demons in your name. You preach in our midst. In other words, your word was being preached in our churches. And you tell them, I don't even know you. Get out of here, you lawless, you workers of iniquity. You haters of my Torah, the Torah of Moses, my very nature and mind and character that are revealed to you in Sinai, that heritage or the inheritance of Israel, as Moses called it, the Israel of God. You see, he isn't going to allow any one of you into his kingdom just because you think that you're a servant. You're not the one that chooses him and gives your heart to him. He's the one that plucks you out of the world. That is, the Father does it and he gives it to Jesus Christ and reveals his Son in you. And if he hasn't done that, which he hasn't to the overwhelming majority of those who call themselves followers of Christ, you are not of his. You don't have his spirit, because if you had his spirit, you would be in this position as David describes here. You would desire the Torah, the law of Moses, and all the teachings that came out of the mouth of God that you are supposed to live by, every word that proceeds out of his mouth, as he said himself. And people don't pay attention to it. He couldn't care less about what he said. You see, you're not going to be there. He's not interested in people like that. And so he says, those who do, they regard the Torah of God, the Word of God, more, that is much finer than gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, it's only by them that your servant is warned. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said. I did not know sin until the law came and told me what sin is. You know, it says, oh, you shall don't covet, or don't do this, or don't do that, or do this, you see. He said, there is no way to know what sin is. How can you repent of something you don't know what it is? And only the Torah can give you that knowledge. From beginning until the end. From Genesis to Revelation, you see. And so it says, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, not in despising them, having them in contempt and saying that's old stuff, done away with, that belongs to the old harsh monster, you know, the God of law, as they say, you know, second century theology that came among the whore, the false church that people thought that was the true church, you see, totally warped, demented, perverted, hated the law of God, hated the teachings of Christ, came up with their own religion, their own days, their own holidays, and so forth. You see? And now, they say sin is done away with, in essence, is the law is done away with, sin is done away with, now do your own thing, get away with it, you know, just now and then, you know, do a few good things. Total perversion of truth. And David is saying, as Paul said, the same. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, not doing away with them, there is great reward. And because people would not keep them, would not walk in them, they come before Christ and say, I don't even know you. In other words, you have wasted your life. And all the good that you have done in this world, did you nothing? Did you no good? You know, did good, no good thing for you. You were not earning credits. You had no bank account. And so when he came to the banker, Jesus Christ, and asking for the reward, he said, you've got nothing here. Your record is clean. There is nothing there. No credit. Imagine that. What a horrible tragedy it is for many. And yet, they do not wake up to listen before it's too late. And so David says, who can understand his errors? In other words, how can you understand what you are doing wrong unless you go to the law of God? Nobody can without it. That's why Christ said, I am the way. Unless you walk in this way, which is the Torah, when I am the Torah, you would never know. So unless you study the Torah of God day and night, meditate on it day and night to have success, as God told Joshua to do, you would never know what your errors are. Your actions, your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions, your outlook on life, your perspective, anything that you do, you would never know if it is right or wrong. You would never know what would Jesus do if you do not study his Torah. That's how, and that's where he told you what he would do. This is what he commanded us, and that's what we are studying here, and now and then, you know, we're amplifying it and magnifying it, not from a human point of view, but what God himself said through this prophet, this man, that man, you know. And sometimes, you know, women that he chose to speak some measures of truth. And so David says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. When people come to Jesus Christ and they say, please cleanse me from what I am, how is he going to do it if you despise his law? And you would never know what is it that you need to be cleansed from. You know, just a few things that you think you should, and then you've got an awful lot of garbage still there, and you walk along with it, and you think that you're doing great, and you are not. You're still stinking in his sight. You're not interested in partial cleansing, and he's not interested in cleansing you only partially, even though that's what he does, because otherwise if he cleanses everything out of you, you'll all be gone. You see, so gradually, in his mercy and kindness, he opens your mind as you grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, and you come to know this law and that law and this statute and this judgment and this precept and this testimony and this teaching of Christ and this word of Christ, and gradually you are being washed and cleansed and purged by the word. That's what it means by the Torah. You see? And he was the epitome of it, the word of God. A lot of people have vain religion. And in vain do they worship him, teaching folk doctrines and learning doctrines and practicing doctrines and teachings of men and not of God, or mixture of truth and error. And so it says, cleanse me from secret faults. And there would not be secrets if you have known the law of God, you know, walked in it constantly, and then had the Holy Spirit also illuminate your mind and heart so you can see things that you did not see out of the law of God. As David would say, show me wondrous things out of your law, you know, so that I can walk in purity of righteousness, just not just make believe and think that I'm okay. You know, that book, I'm okay, you're okay, there is no such a thing. We are not okay. Nobody is okay. We're all sick. That's why we need a physician. And the way he heals us is by opening our eyes to see what is right and what is wrong, and he cannot do it if we despise his law. You see, the Holy Spirit, what it is for, among other things, to lead you to truth. It leads you to the Torah. But if it brings you to the Torah and you reject it and you despise it, it wouldn't do you any good. You see? Let's understand that and not be foolish. And so God, David is saying here, and God is saying, in essence, recording it for our benefit, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. And all of us are guilty of it, and we do not even know it. And to begin with, when you despise the law of God, you are full of presumptuous sins. Full of it. You see? At least with all the foolishness and the ignorance that is in the Jewish community in terms of the Orthodox and the rejection of Jesus Christ, and the mere fact that they have never rejected the Torah of God, you see, and never said it's done away with, they just add to it an awful lot of things and live mostly by other things, and less by the Torah of God, but still never rejected it. So, ironically, you find much less presumptuous things among them. Because one of the most presumptuous things to do is, and to say and to believe is that I believe in Christ on one hand, but then I despise his mind and his nature and character revealed in his Torah. And that I'm a Christian while I despise the way. You see? That's the epitome of the presumptuous spirit that you find among those who call themselves good Christians or Christians. That's what the devil has done to all of us. That's what the false prophets, his ministers, have done to all of us to one degree or the other. And this is the filth and stench and pollution we must come out of. And this is what Christ is saying to his people Israel and to the whole earth. Unless you return to the law of Moses, that will help you to be cleansed and purged and purified from all the secret faults and presumptuous sins, I'm going to destroy all of you. Period. Simple language. He's not only the God of love. Love, love, love. You know, people say love, they don't even know what it means. But he's also the God of death and destruction. And if there is a need for it, he's going to execute that, you see. And unless we're aware of that and really come to know the real Jesus, which most people don't know, neither Jews nor Christians. They don't know the real Jesus, the God of Israel, the Creator, the Savior, the Messiah. Unless we know him, not know about him, but know him through his word, through his Torah, you see, we're not going to be him, we're not going to be like him, we're not going to be in his kingdom. That's the simplicity of the word of God from beginning until the end. And so he's pleading with God, and keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, let them not have dominion over me, because they do, especially when you are ignorant of them and you don't know what they are. He says, then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression, of much great transgression. And unless you study the Torah day and night and know exactly what is the will of God and what would Jesus do here and there from beginning until the end, you're going to be in this situation here. You're not going to be blameless. Sin is going to have dominion over you. And that's what Paul is talking about to the Romans chapter 6. You know, don't let sin have dominion over you. What is sin? Transgression of the Torah. If you reject the Torah, how do you know what is sin? See the confusion in the mind, the hearts of people, and why they despise the word of God, and why it was necessary, it became a policy, a doctrine of that church to, whenever they could, in time past, they don't do it anymore now, but is to burn the Bible. Why? Because it exposed them. That's why. And they hated it. You see? Because those who walk in darkness hate the light. And so they even called it a sin to study the Bible. And to come and ask the priest, you know, about this and that and the other things from the Word of God. A lot of people, you know, when they came to understand all these lies you see, especially in the Protestant movement. You know, they had some good intentions there too, but not all the way, unfortunately. A lot of them were burned to the stake, you know, at the stake because, you know, they either wrote the Bible, promulgated the Bible, you know, spread it around and did things like that. They literally destroyed them by burning them, killing them, tormenting them, torturing them. Imagine that. The very nature and mind of God and law of God, when people walk in it, you see, others come and want to destroy them. That tells you of what spirit they are. Who is their boss? Who is their God? You see? Shows you the hypocrisy that is still in the shepherds of the people. Even though many of them are the people of God in terms of Israel, you see, but all the children on the face of the earth are the children of God ultimately. You see, you can address all of them as the children of God, whether they believe it or not, or believe that He exists or not. It's neither here nor there. He created them all. And yet this is what happened to them, because the devil, who deceives the whole world, enters into their minds and hearts, and he has his ministers all around the world, in many religions, in every given religion, you see. And that's why it says when Christ comes, who is sent from the Father, Zechariah 14, verse 9, and it's only when he puts down all that and wipes out, you know, the whore and the harlots and all false religions and all the unclean spirits, you know, in Israel and Judah and Jerusalem, in every land and city on the face of the earth, then he shall be king and reign over the whole earth, and in that day his name shall be one, and he shall be one. No more false gods, no more idols, but still the Heavenly Father who is coming down to earth 1,000 years later. And people do not understand that, the entirety of the Word of God, they are confused. They are confused in every religion on the face of the earth. And so that's what he's saying here. And then verse 14, he ends up by saying, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." And he does not redeem people who abhor righteousness and love iniquity, that is lawlessness, and hate the law of God. And it's as simple as that. And your meditation is not going to be accepted before God, and your thoughts and your actions and all that, they are mixed with vomit and hatred against His law. You see? That's the reason why we are going through this law in a very methodical manner. And every word of God that we study, you should have fear and trepidation and respect and honor for it. And so with that in mind, let's go back to again verse 5 of chapter 22, where we read, "A woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man." So if you happen to be doing that, well, now you have enough background to know what to do about it and to know what would Jesus do. You see? "Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for whosoever does these things is an abomination unto the Lord your God. And if a man dresses like a woman, and a woman dresses like a man, and if they have the hair that a woman should have," where Apostle Paul explains that very plainly there, speaking about hair in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about a woman, she must have long hair, showing her submission to God and to His angels and to men. You see, God does not tolerate a woman that has a short hair and looks like a boy. He didn't create them to be that way. And neither did He create men to look like a woman. And so, if this little background that He gave you again here, you know, doesn't mean anything to you, well, go your own merry way, and your day will come. But for those who have the fear of God, who love God, think about it. Meditate on this word day and night, so you can have a successful life. And when you reach the end of the road, it's going to be successful now, way, you know, in other words, in destiny and future, and not a horrible tragedy, you know, and disappointment, where you're told, "Get out of here, I don't even know you." So you must understand what is true and what is not, what is an abomination the sight of God and what is not, and walk in it, get hold of it. Don't let anybody else to deceive you and, you know, tell you lies. Verse 6, "If a bird's nest chance to be before you in the way, in any tree or on the ground with the young ones or eggs, and the dam," that is, you know, the mother, that's what it says in Hebrew, the mother, it doesn't say the dam, you know, in English described it, you know, dam, madam, woman, the mother, "sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young." That's the law of God. You would say, well, you know, that's not religion. What should God care about these kind of things? Well, He does. every tiny little things you do in life, he does. What would Jesus do? This is what he would do. If this is what happens to him, he walks by and he sees that and he's hungry and he wants to take, you know, the eggs, he's going to take the eggs, but he's going to let, you know, the mother go. You see? And he's going to take the young ones, whatever. He's going to let the mother go so she can go and propagate, you know, and get pregnant again, so to speak, and have more eggs and more birds. You see, you have to understand, you know, the laws of God. They have to do with everything you do in life. They are not only in area, in a certain area of your life. There is no such a thing of separation between state and religion, or church, as they call it. There's no such a thing with God, because God governs you in everything that you do in life, in the business community, in everything that you do. You see? And people haven't got that point. When they came over here, you know, the fathers of the Constitution wanted a separation between church and state, they haven't done it because they despise religion. They have done it because there was an oppression. So understand, you know, the intent of that law, and do not despise religion and think that religion is only when you go to church or synagogue and after that do your own thing. It doesn't work like that. You're not acceptable before God like that. That's why God says to a lot of people that have done a lot of good in their churches and synagogues, get out of here. I don't even know you. You are lawless. So all the good that you have done doesn't mean anything to me. Why would you want to waste your life like that and come to that disappointment? Just to keep, you know, your vanity, you know, intact, and your ego, and whatever lies you have taught or you were taught in the past, or are still walking in it. So what God is saying here, in every tiny little thing of life, this is what you do, and this, in this case, this is what you do. And then sit down and study the whole thing. What are the consequences if you do this, you know, or we don't do this? And then you have to, you know, as you do it, you have a greater illumination, magnification of your understanding, and you get to know more and more your God and His nature, and you reverence Him more, and you love Him more, and you revel in Him more, you delight in Him more, you hunger for Him, you thirst for Him. You can't, you know, wait until you can get up in the morning, or as David was saying, you know, even at night, you know, at night I would wake up a few times and pray to you because I couldn't contain myself. I'm so excited just thinking about your nature, your mind, your character, just like somebody who is madly in love with someone. That's all they can do, just think about her, or about him, or anything that you want so badly in life. Unless you get to that point where you have that kind of relationship with your Creator, you're kidding yourself that you are His servant, or that you are pleasing in His sight. You see? And that's what you do with the study of the law. It teaches you that. It equips you with this kind of a nature and a mind that desires Him with all of your being and heart. You see the majesty, the glory in His nature and character. You see it in His creation. You see it in His law. And so this is what He says here in verse 7. You shall in any wise let the dam go, the mother, but the young you may take unto yourself. You know, you take them and raise them until they get bigger, you know, if you want to take them and, you know, for the kids or whatever it may be. You know, you don't want to eat them at that point. They're too young. There's hardly anything in them. But he said, let the mother go because, you know, she's got her own boyfriend there out there. You know, they'll have more eggs. So, you know, laws of ecology. You know, take care of the ecology of the land. And God has His law covering every tiny little aspect of life. And when people don't study that, don't know that, you know, they walk in darkness. They just have partial light and that's not good enough. That's why God commands us to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. And so He says, you don't take the mother, but let her go, but the young you may take unto yourself. Why? That it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days. When you begin to interfere with the, as people call them, their foolishness, mother nature, which is not, that's the nature of God, His creation, when they begin to interfere with His laws, with His nature, with His creation, everything is going to go haywire, and that's basically where we are today. There's a lot of confusion in the creation. And it's all around us, and we are the enemy. We have done it, every single one of us, because we were born into this society, into this world, you see, and we were trapped in it. And that's what we do every time we use, you know, soap, dishwash, you know, I mean, liquid, that is, you know, when you want to clean your vessels, you know, your plates and pots and things like that, and use soap, and, you know, it goes down the drain, ends up somewhere else, it poisons the water, you know, the pesticides that we use and the herbicides and fungicides and all kind of things that we use, you know, to control pests and things like that, we're poisoning our ground. We're poisoning our bodies. We are doing it. You drive in a car, you pollute the air. We are doing it. Let's understand it. We're all guilty before God. And of course, we're not doing it maliciously at times. We're doing it in ignorance. But all God commands us is to do what we can under the circumstances, you see, to minimize all these kind of things at least, to do that. But when all these calamities come upon us, let's understand, we brought it on ourselves. That's the reason why God is going to destroy the whole earth and then rebuild it to make it new. We polluted everything. And so a lot of people are paying, you know, are going to pay the penalty for it. You see, men, women, and children, and old and young, you know, in between. Because all of us, one way or the other, even the poor innocent baby that hasn't done anything wrong, you know, he's got those diapers made of plastic and it goes into the ground, pollutes the ground. You know, the baby didn't do it. He's not, you know, he's not guilty. You know, personally speaking, he's not malicious, but he's a part of it. So everybody pays the penalty, and then he gets sick too. And God wants to teach all of us lessons. And then people, you know, accuse God. Why did God let Johnny die? Well, iniquity is in all of us. Until we are willing to come back to the law of Moses and do things right in everything in life, you see, we're going to reap these sour grapes. And ultimately God says, I'm getting to the point where enough is enough. If you do not repent at this point, you're all gone. Going to bring, you know, bring destruction on the whole earth. So understand what the tribulation that is to come, and the calamities that are to come in the day of the Lord, and all the captivity that is to come. You see, it's all because of that. All of us are guilty. And all of us are going to pay the penalty one way or the other. You know, there are going to be gradations there. But nobody's just going to live in Beverly Hills, you know, in Disneyland, and everything is wonderful throughout all this period of time. There are going to be a lot of tribulation and persecution and martyrdom, and all of us, one way or the other, are going to be involved in it. You see? So let's brace ourselves and realize why also. And verse 8, he says, when you build a new house, so now it's another law, now we're talking about construction. The law of God is everywhere, into everything that you do. That's the nature and the mind of God. How can you say it's done away with? You don't build houses anymore? Of course you do. God is going to tell you what he's going to do. And so this is, again, what would Jesus do? Well, this is what he's going to do because he told you what to do when you build a house. What do you do there? That's all the laws and all the code of ethics that they have and the laws of the city and the municipalities come up with, you know, code of building. Do it right. So there isn't any danger there for yourself and for others. They're corrupt contractors who want to get away with this and that and the other thing. They don't realize what's the purpose of it all. It's in the law of God. It's in the Torah of Moses. And people don't realize that. They're not being told these kind of things. You know, when you want to get a license and a contractor license, you've got to study the law of Moses. So you know how to do things right. Besides all the other information that you have from men. So when you build a new house, then you shall make a parapet for your roof, in other words, you know, put a wall around it, you know, a fence or whatever it may be, so nobody falls, that you bring not blood upon your house if any man fall from thence. So if there is an accident, it's not only I'm going to sue you for it, God says, I'm going to sue you too. You see? Because the damage that you caused, the blood that was shed and all that is on your head. So if you think that you can get away with it, some people say, well, you know, I don't mind doing it, you know, so it'll take me to court, I'll pay a little money, but I'll continue to walk in corruption and make an awful lot of money in the process. God says, oh no, you're shedding blood when you do that. I'm coming after you. You see? And he's coming after the farmers who polluted the ground, who poisoned the water and the soil, you see, and depleted the soil, and then we, you know, basically corrupt food. And doesn't do much good, and we've got all the sicknesses and diseases. God says to the farmers, agribusiness industry, anybody responsible, and the government that allows it, I'm coming after you, because there is innocent blood in your hand that you have shed. And people don't think that way. They don't realize why all these evils are coming upon us, and why horrible destruction is coming upon the face of the whole earth. Why? Because we do not study the law of Moses, and we do not know the consequences. You see? of our actions and how God regards those things. And so God says, you're going to have innocent blood, you know, on your hand. So do it right so you don't have that and you prevent this problem. And then another law, you shall not sow the vineyard with two kinds of seed. Don't mix them up. That's what biogenetics is all about. They mix up not only these things that people used to do in the past, but far beyond that. I mean, you know, they're putting animals, cells, into plants and things like that to come up with all kind of results. God says, don't do it. Don't corrupt my nature. Don't corrupt my character, my works. And yet they do it. And the business community does it. And the government is behind it. They allow them. You see, that's what the FDA is all about. They allow an awful lot of evil things. And they don't realize what they are doing. That's what God says. Unless you return to the law of Moses, you're going to be destroyed. And therefore, because people would not return to the law of Moses, he knows that they are not going to. He's going to decimate about 90% of humanity and totally wipe out everything that is upon the face of the earth and start all over again. You know, the remnant of the 10%. And of course, the rest is going to bring back in the second resurrection and deal with them at that point and give them, you know, another heart, another spirit, you know, perform a lobotomy on their head. Only the right kind. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. Again, this is Mordechai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.